Beach, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. 11 people are hospitalized. They're among the more than two dozen migrants authorities in South Texas found in a secret compartment of a trailer.
Aside from the 26 victims that we have seven suspects under arrest that were involved in the smuggling operation itself.
Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar. U.S. officials say the U.S. will announce a new package of military aid to Ukraine tomorrow. The mother, a widow of Hunter Biden's brother, told jurors in his federal gun trial that she found the weapon in his truck, put it in a leather pouch, stuffed it into a shopping bag, and tossed it into a trash can near her home. The purchase of the revolver and Hallie Biden's disposal of it are at the center of the case against him. A federal judge revoked former President Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon's bail, ordering him to prison July 1st. President Biden was among the world leaders at Omaha Beach on this 80th anniversary of D-Day. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The sound of seven pro-Palestine protesters getting arrested this morning after disrupting the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting today in Milwaukee is part of ongoing efforts to get universities to cut ties with Israel. Former Waupun prison warden Randall Hepp and eight former guards and nurses are charged with felonies in connection with two of four inmate deaths in the last year. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
There must be accountability for the actions and inactions of state employees. As the sheriff, I am angered at how these men were treated and how they died.
One inmate died of malnourishment. Another was dead for 12 hours before staff took notice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A 150-mile bike ride is set to kick off from Proctor High School on Saturday. According to a Fox 21 report, the Bike MS ride will begin at Proctor High School and finish at White Bear Lake in an effort to raise money to fight against multiple sclerosis. Some teams involved in the ride have raised tens of thousands of dollars for the cause this year alone, and they're hoping the ride will garner more attention and get even more people involved in some of their other donation opportunities. State park officials are celebrating the 100-year anniversary of the Jay Cook State Park Swinging Bridge. According to a Northern News Now report, the bridge was first built in 1924 and stood roughly 18 feet above the St. Louis River. Over the years, floods have destroyed the bridge and forced its reconstruction to be raised a few feet higher each time. It was last destroyed in the worst recorded flood on the St. Louis River in 2012 and rebuilt after 16 months. Officials are hoping to add an all-terrain track chair by 2025. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Milwaukee gets swept in Philadelphia. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. For the third straight day, the Brewers' bats stayed quiet, and Milwaukee was shut out by the Phillies 2-0 on Wednesday. It's the first time the Brewers have been swept this season. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers are right there with the best teams in baseball.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee was outscored 7-2 in the series. They'll have a day off before heading to play Detroit for three games against the Tigers starting Friday. Tonight is the first game of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks in the best-of-seven series. Today is the start of the state high school softball tournament in Madison. You can follow along on the WIAA's website. The Packers wrap up OTAs today ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. Training camp opens up next month. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a little less wind through the night, a couple of showers around, and lows to the mid-40s. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, still a little breezy, highs in the low 70s. For the weekend, some low rain chances, partly sunny, highs near 70. It's 60 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise. And that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a very special Friday edition. We're airing the grievances and gearing up for Crude and Dom's birthday week. You'll want to listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, there it is. Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, Tim, doing well. You know, back on campus, it's not often in the off season, I call it, that I'm actually on campus because, you know, like most of our colleges around the country, they kind of, the students go away and the professors, we kind of tie off loose ends. But, you know, we have an MIT program that goes for 1 year. That's a master in teaching. Kind of like an alternate pathway to teaching, but they, you know, they've spent the last year interning in classrooms, you know, shadowing teachers, taking courses. They finished today on campus. So we have a big event where they share their teacher inquiry projects, the kind of teaching that they hope to be doing in the fall when they're in their own classroom. So it's a celebratory day here on campus, and it's a great Thursday because I'm on the air with you, Tim, and we got a sweet guest we're going to get to. But before we get to it.
I was just thinking, though, too, you're talking about the students. Boy, too bad they didn't have a Minocqua Brewing tap room in the area, because you know what? Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Yeah, Johnny, those MIT students, you know, get that. I don't know if they're going to make that trip, but, you know, got to love Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison bringing it to us. Yeah, great guest. Johnny, I want to start, though, before we introduce our guest, though. Because he, let's tease it. Profound question. We talk about this a lot on the show. What does learning look like? Boy, we got some great things. But he was a principal at all K-12 levels, including a prison school district coach. He was a distance learning team lead and English teacher, national award-winning former school teacher. He is the creator of the BE Podcast Network, the best educational podcast network out there. He's also the author of How to Be a Transformative Principal and School X, How Principals Can Design a Transformative School Experience for the People Right in Front of Them. He also advises school leaders across the country. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Jethro Jones. How are you, Jethro?
Oh, man, I am honored to be here and so stoked to nerd out with you guys. This is
Nerd out? Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't know I fell into that camp nowadays.
Oh, I think Tim, if you do a daily podcast about education, you are.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Jethro. I don't know about that denial you're in, Tim.
No kidding.
It's a river in Egypt, you know, one of those things, as they say. No, Jethro, I mean, great stuff. A lot of work that you've been doing. I mean, lots of experiences. You know, before we get even into the question of what does learning look like, though, you know, give you a chance. The BE Education Podcast Network, Give us just a little taste. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, we think that education is vital to our success as a nation and as a world. And so about a year and a half ago, I got together with Ross Romano, who's been a friend for a long time. And we said, how can we make podcasts that are, that there's a podcast for everybody, anywhere they're at in education. And so we've got about 40 shows on that network. Some of them are really focused on things like my podcast, Transformative Principles, really focused on school principals. The Authority podcast is really focused on interviewing book authors. And we've got a whole bunch of other ones. One that you might be interested in is Morning Motivation for Educators. Short 5-minute episodes to get you inspired and find something positive in your day. All geared towards educators, and anybody can contribute to that. So anybody who wants to can like share a message with educators if they want to. Morningmotivationedu.com. People can go check that out. That one I think is great because we all need more inspiration and support.
Absolutely. Motivation, inspiration, it's always there. And in fact, if you're inspired, give us a call, 855-752-4842 for our guest, Jethro Jones. The question is, and if you have an answer already, what does learning look like? Jethro has really done, Johnny, the graphic that he put together here. So anybody who, you know, had the ability to see some of the promos I was putting out all day today on social media can look at it. And I'll do my best as a description because Jethro, you kind of sent it to me when we were doing a pre-interview. And so, you know, image number one, what people and what schools think learning looks like is a, you know, a semi-straight line that continually goes forward and continually grows. So in other words, guess what? What happens to learning? Every day you're in school, you learn a little bit more and you learn a little bit more and you learn a little bit more, always accumulating, always getting better. Okay, right? You think how many people go, oh yeah, that sounds right. That sounds reasonable. Then what learning really looks like, which is you start down here, you start moving up a little bit and all of a sudden you start squiggling and you move to the left, you move to the right, you move backwards, you move forward, you come around, you kind of put together what looks like a lot of chaos. You might possibly towards the end move in that other direction. However, during all that time, there's always the possibility that something else might happen and you might learn something totally different. I don't know, Jethro, what do you think? Is that a pretty good verbal description?
Yeah, that was good. And sometimes when you're just doing audio and you can't see it, then that's what happens. If you go to my Twitter account, that one is up towards the top, and I'll leave links and other things in there as well. But this idea that learning is a straight line and that everything just scaffolds on top of each other and everything is in this like nice, neat curriculum scope and sequence, it's a bunch of baloney. And we as educators, we miss the boat when we think that that's what it's like, because it's not really like that. Everybody learns individually and according to their own experiences. That's the key takeaway.
So let me put this question, though, too. And because then, Johnny, you answer this, too. This is for all of us. So Jethro, you are going to also make this proclamation, this declaration that learning is a messy, non-linear. How many years have you been in this business, teaching and learning, educating, leading?
Officially, I got my first teaching job in 2006, right after my daughter was born. So she's 18 now and graduating. And so I've been teaching for 18 years or educating. But before that, I've spent time on a mission in Russia teaching. I've done a lot of different things to help people learn. And I've been doing my podcast for over a decade, and I call that learning in dog years. So yeah. I got a lot of thoughts about how this stuff works.
Okay, so lots of experience. Johnny Lupinacci, how long you been at this gig?
This current one, man? I don't know.
No, man, this whole idea.
2 weeks,
teaching and learning.
3 weeks. No, man. Yeah. I mean, I was back
teaching.
Educator. Yeah, I think my first year in the classroom was early 2000s, 2002. I mean, I started as, you know, high school math teacher, as green as they could be, man, both interested in the environment and, you know, social activism and teaching math in Detroit, and did that. And I've been working with teacher education since, I don't even know, maybe 2008 or so. So just a couple decades of it, you know, and being in and out of different contexts, alternative schools, you know, traditional schools. We talk sometimes here about Detroit schools and, you know, the charterization and the privatization versus the public schools, all that stuff. You know, so it's been a blast, and I get to work with so many future teachers, so many school leaders out there. You know, most recently, the last 10 years I've been here in Washington, actually kind of close to Jethro. We just found that out live for listeners out there. Jethro and I, you know, we don't live too far from each other. So this is one of those cool moments where, you know, we could be anywhere on the podcast or radio show together, but we actually can meet face to face too and hang out, and, you know, we're gonna. So we've been at it for a minute now, Tim.
Oh, yeah, you've been at it. And so, man, I'm kind of a little bit concerned about when when I was my first classroom, 1990. Ooh. I was a second grade teacher in 1990. I know you're like, wait a minute, what were you, two? Yeah, I know. Yeah, 1990. I've been at this, you know, thing, you know, second grade for a few years, fifth grade for a few years, seventh and eighth grade, you know, in our rural Pennsylvania, downtown Baltimore, Maryland, you know, then teacher education. Like you said, Johnny, at State University of New York, worked at Penn State for 10 years, all the way up in Wisconsin, Madison. So what I wanted to do out there is in case anybody was going like, well, who are these dudes to be talking about learning and what learning looks like? You know, just put out there a little bit of the educated educators talking education credentials out there. 855-752-4842. That's what it is. You know, yeah, I think we might have a little bit to say. However, you know, that doesn't stop you from having what you want to say. Call us. Come on in. Talk about it. What does learning look like? Okay, so Jethro, before we get deep into this, where we're really going to go, when did it come clear to you? Because I got to assume that at some point, you know, learning to be a teacher, though, the kind of continuous, always learning, always growing kind of model, when did you start to question that?
Oh, ironically, it was when I was in fourth grade and I was on my fourth different elementary school, and I started to see that school was not designed for me as a student. It was designed for the adults in the school and not for me. And once I saw that, I started seeing all the cracks in the armor and how school was really not benefiting me. And the teachers were essentially just waiting for this punk kid to move on, because he was obviously a high transiency student and he wasn't going to be around for a long time. And I wasn't, but it just reaffirmed, this isn't for me, this is for them.
Mm. Johnny Lubinacci, you got some sense there, what Jethro said.
Yeah, man, sounds familiar, although I wasn't a transient student. I was just when they were like, what do we do with this kid, man? Yeah. Like, you know, and I didn't actually know I wanted to be a teacher till a lot later, and it kind of dawned on me that I had met some really great ones, and I had a whole slew of not so great ones, and it kind of dawned on me, wow, you know, I was working with youth, and I was actually volunteer and then a parapro, and I thought, you know what, it makes a huge difference when there's a teacher that kind of cares and gets it, like Jethro's gonna like unpack a little bit, like when you start to vibe with the fact that learning isn't about control and compliance, you know, it's about relationship, it's about connection, it's about recognize the diverse ways we all make sense of the world and we learn things together. And when that can be exciting and valued by both teachers and students, magic happens. And it's not even that magic, it's just what we do as humans. So it was really awesome. So similar as to Jethro, you know, like kind of trial by fire, landed in this, you know, calling and career.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, it's Thursday night. Our guest, Jethro Jones, educator, leader, podcaster, been doing this stuff for over 20 years. The number is 855-752-4842. We'll definitely have that graphic. What does learning look like? Okay, Jethro, though, one of these things, if we admit that learning doesn't look like a gradual continuous growth line that goes up forever, always going on, and it's confusing mess, it's all over these things, man, Johnny and I have had this conversation though. There are so many people out there right now really worried about learning loss. Like, particularly we're hearing it that during the pandemic, kids lost learning. Johnny and I have challenged that. I think you want to challenge that. Tell us what's up with learning loss. Is it real? What do we do with it? How do we make sense of it?
Yeah, it's a lie, and it's a way for curriculum companies to sell more intervention materials and things like that. That's all it is. It's a way for legislators to put in more restrictions or to legislate schools from their perches where they don't really know what's going on. The thing is that there's no such thing as learning loss, and there's no such thing as a student being behind. Those are all constructs that we create as the adults to give words to how we think kids should or should not be doing. And the reality is that no kid can be behind because they are just where they're at. And we may think they should be somewhere else, but why do we think that? Well, we think that because some people did it this way, and that's what we expect. We think that because we have this idea that because we are teachers, we know what's right, and we really don't. We're just doing the best we can with what we got every single day. And this is where I want to bring in something that, I knew I'd forget her name. Nancy Carlson Page. Is that?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Matt Damon's mom. It.
Matt Damon's mom. I listened to that podcast this week, and she was talking about how we don't actually know how the learning takes place in the mind. And we can say the synapses connect or whatever, but nobody really understands how to make that happen. And so all we're doing is making our best guess about it. So think about it this way. You can have 10 kids in a teacher's classroom. They're all paying the equal amount of attention and engaged in the same way. Because of their life experiences, they're going to take whatever the teacher says in a 5-minute lesson in their own unique way. That's what all those squiggly lines are. So if I have a background where I've helped my dad or my mom build something at home, and the teacher, it gives an example of measuring tape, what does that look like? I have a different relationship to that than the kid who got spanked by a ruler whenever they did something wrong the previous year. And so those things matter and they mean something. Now, that's not to say that we can't have any control over how kids learn or what they learn. What we need to do is start with that recognition. And here's the key. Every single kid's individual learning is the responsibility of themselves. Every adult's learning is a responsibility of themselves. Nobody but the learner cares what is going on, what that kid learns, how they learn it, none of that. It only matters to that individual kid. And so we put all these systems and pressures and plans in place to accomplish something that we can't possibly control or make sure that it happens the way we want it to. We can just try our best. And if teachers took that approach, that would be an awesome experience for them. And they would feel a lot better if if they could take that approach and take all that stress off of their backs that they are responsible for these kids learning. They're just not.
Man, think about that, Johnny. It's making me have all these intersections of all the shows we've been doing so often. But, you know, the connection last night to Educators Amplified and realizing, you know, they come in to talk about this, Jethro, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, about the reality of going like, you know, look, first of all, if school is only about academics, that in and of itself could be a problem because you're not dealing with everything else. But boy, what you've talked about, though, too, is recognizing where kids are is where they are, and assessing that. When I say assessing, too, I don't mean measuring it. I mean kind of getting a guide and getting a sense of knowing where our kids are. The whole idea that you just, the way you put this out there, you can't lose learning. It doesn't get lost. It's just there, Johnny, right? I mean, we've
talked about it. Well, yeah, I love it. I mean, we didn't prompt Jethro to say this, but, you know, we've been on the shows we had way back in the past. As soon as that phrase came up, learning loss. I mean, we were like, come on, here we go again with a new marketing slogan, you know, a new ad campaign for selling curriculum, for like being able to, you know, put that sense of failure into both students and to teachers and schools to say, well, you fell behind, you're not doing what you need to do, and here's the solution, right? So, you know, we've been saying that, so it's nice to have Jethro on saying that too. It's always fun when we agree. We don't stack the deck that way, as listener knows. You know, it just kind of converges on this, and I love that idea of, you know, Educators Amplified. They were on last night. They were talking about, you know, there's some different ways to approach how we teach, and too often we're either teaching two or four our learners, and we need to be able to think about how do we think about teaching with, being present with them as they are engaged as learners. And Jethro kind of, you know, he's on tonight, listener, saying a very similar thing. You know, we want to engage. Too much of school is about compliance and, you know, measuring how compliant have you been. And that's not learning, right? That's not the kind of learning that we can trick ourselves into sometimes thinking it is. You know, kids look like they're learning, and especially, I don't know about you, Tim or Jethro, man, I wasn't good at pretending like I was learning, but I had a lot of peers who were really good at it. I mean, they just weren't in trouble as often because they appeared to be paying attention, but that's not learning. We know learning doesn't look the same way in every kid, even when there's some patterns, you know, it's like, I hate to say it's messy, but it is. It's a little bit messy.
And it's okay for it to be messy.
Yeah.
Because it is, whether we want it to be clean or not. Every individual's learning is messy for them. And so the way that I like to talk about this image also is that when you look behind you, you see that straight line of how you got there. But looking at it from any other direction, there's just no way. It's not like that at all. Let me give a quick illustration of what you were just talking about, Johnny, that I think is so powerful. So as I mentioned, I used to live in Russia. I was a missionary for my church there. It was really awesome. Did a lot of cool things. But one thing that I learned that was so amazing is how they talk about education. They say that the way that education works is that a teacher does not teach a subject. In fact, in the language, it's impossible to say that I teach math. They say I teach students to math, like they are physically taking the students to math, like they would take them on a field trip. Taking that different approach, that is powerful. When you think I take students to the content rather than I teach the content to the students,
boom. Whoa, thinking about that, that is absolutely the most, you know, really goes with the image. Our guest, Jethro Jones, teacher leader, principal, podcaster, you know, got it all. Yeah, we're making, we're kind of really looking at this. First of all, learning loss, sorry, can happen. When we get back, though, to Jethro, we're going to get into some of these. So if learning loss doesn't happen and learning is messy, then we need to figure out what are we going to do. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
Can't wait.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Z
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Five new mental health crisis centers are open in Wisconsin. They're for treating people who can't stay in their community safely but don't need to be in the hospital. The centers are in Waukesha, Beaver Dam, Wausau, La Crosse, and Madison. The races are set for the August primaries, and Wisconsin Democrats say they can make their biggest gains in more than a decade thanks to new maps. State Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein.
For the first time in over 20 years, we have a Senate Democrat running in every single race in the state of Wisconsin. Let me say that again. A candidate running in every race, challenging every single Republican candidate.
Meanwhile, 120 Democrats are running in 97 of Wisconsin's 99 assembly districts. In contrast, Republicans are running in 11 Senate districts and 84 assembly districts. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. There's a new member of the Duluth Police Department's K-9 division. According to law enforcement authorities, Officer Nate Abbott and a 2-year-old Dutch Shepherd named Gus completed their training on May 23rd, and Gus officially became the fourth member of the K-9 division. Officials say Gus specializes in narcotic detection, tracking, article searching, and apprehension. Officer Abbott says he's excited to help remove harmful substances from the streets and to engage in the community with Gus. Commuters driving through the Duluth area may see some added traffic on I-35 on Monday. According to the Minnesota Department of Transportation, single lanes on I-35 will be temporarily closed on Monday between Garfield Avenue and 27th Avenue West. The northbound lane closures will occur from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Monday, and a southbound lane will be closed from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Department of Transportation officials say the closures are among many planned for the Twin Ports Interchange project area. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Looking for a new show with a dash of retro? Here's one of Pete's picks. If you haven't seen it yet, check out The Wire. The HBO show that hit the airwaves this week in 2002 still holds up today and is often mentioned as a contender for the best episodic show ever. The Wire is set in Baltimore and shows the financial challenges the underfunded Baltimore police and city government face. All five seasons are available on Max. It's time for a trip to Flavor Country. Flavor Flav went into a Red Lobster and ordered everything on the menu in an effort to try to save the entire chain. The restaurant recently filed for bankruptcy and announced it will close many stores. In a related story, there's been an influx of lobsters at local pet shelters. None of the closings sat well with Flavor, who posted a picture of himself standing in front of every menu item. He did his best, but still left shortly after with the biggest doggy bag ever. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a little less wind through the night, a couple of showers around, and lows to the mid-40s. Sunshine's back for tomorrow, still a little breezy, highs in the low 70s. For the weekend, some low rain chances, partly sunny, highs near 70. It's 60 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And it's like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, my good friend Sandy Williams will join the show from Florida. We'll talk about the biggest political stories of the week and break down some of the issues affecting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You know Jess is on the music tonight. Busted Pencils, fully. Led at Education Talk, little Lincoln Park there, number 855 7-5-2. Whoa, and then, sorry, I got cut out there. Busted Pencils, yeah, we're here. Our guest, Jethro Jones, teacher, leader, principal, missionary, he's been out there just doing it, podcaster, book author. You got it. I mean, we're out there talking about this whole idea of learning. It isn't what you think it is. It's quite messy. Taking a look at learning loss and going, yeah, sorry, just can't really have such thing as learning loss. Before we go any deeper, though, got Joanne on the phone, one of our favorite callers. Joanne, what's happening, our friend?
Great show. I have a question that is pretty tricky about learning engagement. Say you have a young boy, and the parents come to you and say, my young boy learns better with other boys and is more engaged with learning with other boys. When that young boy is with girls, for whatever reason, maybe not as engaged. And what do you do with that type of a question? I mean, it's very, very practical. I've heard about it during some picnics I've attended lately. Do you put the young boy in an environment with other young boys, or just say, hey, maybe we got a little engagement of learning loss, but the young boy will learn how to deal with girls?
Jethro, that's all you, man.
Oh, I can't wait to dig into this. So, couple different things. Number one, thank you, first of all, for caring enough about your kid to recognize that maybe things aren't going well when girls are around. That's wonderful. That's attention. Thanks for being a great parent. That is exactly what I would say. I'm also glad that you brought up the idea of engagement, because Damon Hargraves and I, he was my assistant principal in Kodiak, Alaska, and is someone I really admire and look up to. He and I would talk about engagement all the time, that you can be quote unquote engaged, but you're not actually enrolled, which when I had Seth Godin on my podcast, he called it being enrolled in school, that you have to choose and want to be there. And so the question is not about whether or not they are engaged in the learning process. It's, are they enrolled in the learning process? Are they choosing to participate and be engaged in it? And so if that is the case where a male student is struggling because there are girl students around, what do we need to do to help him figure out for himself how to regulate himself so that he can get done what he needs to get done? And it's the idea of he's in charge of his learning. And if we start from that perspective, we involve him in the process instead of saying, we're in charge of your learning, so we're going to put you in the right spot for learning. We need to talk with him and help him figure that out for himself, rather than take that responsibility on our shoulders and think that it's our responsibility to help him be regulated around all these cute girls that are very distracting.
Johnny Lupinacci, you took your hat off to that one, man.
Well, it's getting hot. It's getting hot in here, but I mean, I love it. Jethro, love his response. I mean, you could tell, seasoned vet here, you know, a guy from the trenches of, you know, good education in the midst of schooling. It's like kind of one of those, you go to your toolbox and a carpenter has, you know, a great, you know, a grasp of how to use a hammer, you know, and Jethro's saying like, hey, love the engagement, love what you're noticing. Cause really important that you have, you know, this learner has someone backing them on this.
Yeah.
However, like there's different ways that we need to adjust and look. And so we got to be able to work with different people around us, because even though engagement and learning is individualized, no matter where we go, we're doing it in society in some context. Mm-hmm. And so we're balancing and practicing all those skills. And, you know, and also good teachers out there, like we have diverse ways we group our students together, you know, to apply the social learning, even when it's social learning, though. And I like Jethro points this out. That's a kind of engagement that individual learners are like, hey, I'm interested in this. I'm alert. I'm engaged and I'm enrolled. Oftentimes because they have a high investment in what their peers are thinking and interacting with them. So sometimes I think we do push it too much to try and like get the perfect configuration of who's sitting with who and who's learning. And so teachers, I encourage you, you know, like I think Jethro outlined this for us. I encourage you to kind of get that, let it be messy. let groups kind of form and flow and, you know, facilitate them and, you know, move them around and take note of when students work really well together and where they might need to work on how they work with others. But, you know, that's a unique thing. And I love that caller Joanne brought it up. Thanks, Joanne, for listening thoughtfully and always contributing really, you know, really, really great questions. Love it.
Yeah. And I got a great story after you read the thing you need to read about boys and girls working together and how they learned how to do it. So you take it away, Tim.
That's Johnny, man. To you, buddy.
Okay, well, I could take it away and we can get right back to it because I think it's nice. But we're going to sneak this in here because, listener, you know what time it is. It's Civic Media Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. It's on now through June 14th. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for a chance to hear codes to text in for a chance to win. New keywords are announced in the odd-numbered hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's 7, 9, and 11 a.m., 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. So, listener, tune in to Nightlight after Busted Pencils with Pete Schwabba to hear the next code, which will be announced at the top of the 7 p.m. hour and will be valid through 7:59 p.m. Daily prizes include Wisconsin Dells prize packs and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Enter for your chance to win a grand prize, Scani getaway in Door County, Lake Geneva, or Fort Atkinson. All right, now we got that done so our listeners can win some contests. But Jethro, come back to that great story, my man.
All right, so we were doing this thing at my middle school in Fairbanks, Alaska that we called Synergy. What Synergy was is time outside of the classroom, so not in a content area where kids could work on something that would improve the world that they lived in. And they could define what was solve a problem in the world. They could define problem. They could define world, and they could figure out what that solution looked like. So these young women got together and said, we want to teach soccer, cheer, and volleyball to second and third grade girls at the elementary school next door. Yeah. As they're doing this, they're saying, you know what? We feel like boys need to learn these skills also. So we want to involve the boys, but we're already maxed out. So they found a bunch of boys who they thought would be good athletic boys to help them teach the other boys. They brought these boys into their group, and then they realized that these boys were just messing everything up because they weren't focusing. They were distracted, like just what Joanne was talking about. So they came to me and they said, how do we fire these boys without making them feel like they are terrible human beings? They have no value, because they do. But it just isn't going to work for what we're trying to do. Now, think about that for a moment. What seventh and eighth grade girl is going to be that aware of what it means to fire someone if we're just teaching the curriculum? There's just no way. But these girls understood that this was their responsibility. This was their project. And we were just the guides and the mentors there for them. That's what they understood. And so they asked the right question. Then they fired the boys. And most adults don't know how to fire people effectively, but they fired them in a way where the boys walked away saying, okay, we get it. You make sense. We'll go find a different project to join. I mean, talk about a powerful learning experience driven by them, focused on what they needed in the moment. And now for the rest of their life, they know how to fire people with compassion and care.
Well, that's the part, though, too. Yeah, the whole learning that took place there, Jethro, as you said, you know, not only does learning, is it messy and it looks like this, and then sometimes, though, what is it that we're learning? You go, oh, wait, they learned that? Oh, my, who knew?
Is there a state standard for how to fire people effectively? I don't think so, but it sure is a good skill to have.
The ability to, just you said, from an empathetic standpoint for this, for the whole reason, you know, thinking of somebody going, oh, I get why I'm going to move on to something else. Now it's, you know, I'm not a bad person. I didn't do anything, but I just realized this. So yeah, what a great way to illustrate that. So Jethro, take that then though too, and say, okay, so that moment, which was essentially unscripted, right? The reality, though, is that more and more, the heavy emphasis on dictated scripted lessons is just the reality teachers are facing. How do they kind of take moments like that and really plan more of these, you know, learning opportunities that are outside of the bounds of the dictates.
Yeah, that is a real challenge for sure. And my heart breaks for anybody who has a principal who's in your room checking to make sure you're following the script. That's a terrible situation to be in. I was a principal that had that in our building, and I just never went into that classroom where the scripted lessons were happening because I didn't want the teacher to have that as her demo lesson, and I didn't want to emphasize or enforce that any more than it already was being done. So the key is finding those opportunities to teach kids to be good, flourishing human beings wherever you can and pulling those kinds of things in. I was just at a conference this last week and asked a room full of principals and teachers, what's more important, how the kids feel or the content that you actually learn? And one of the speakers gave a whole talk about this thing. And they said, everybody raised their hand and said, we think it's more important the kids know we love them, that we care about them, that they become good people. Everybody agrees with that, but we don't act that way. Mm. Just like learning is the learner's responsibility, your profession, your career is your responsibility, and you need to stand up and say, this is not okay when things are not okay. You need to have the courage to do that. And it can be scary, but it's worth it to take the effort to say the things that need to be said.
Man, I just think about that. The whole idea, though, too, you know, if you're scripted, I know there are some teachers listening right now who are facing the fact that actually tomorrow, you know, they're going to have to follow the script. And in fact, depending on where they are and depending on the principal and the leadership in the school district, I mean, some of that is going to be very top down. And some of the teachers are going to be like, man, where can I get me a principal like Jethro Jones? Yeah. Because I know tomorrow morning that not only am I going to have to be on the script, I'm going to be on the clock. I'm going to be on the script. And my kids better be making sure that their pencils are sharpened the right way, because if they get me off script and off the timing, the principal is going to come down on me. Just the way I just described that, right, Jethro? You just think it's going like, really? Do we do that to people? Yeah, we do.
Unfortunately. And the other thing about that is that in order to make that synergy time happen, I had to take it out of the classroom, because we had tried it earlier where they were in the language arts or the math classroom and the teachers wouldn't let go of their content area. So I had to literally make a time in the schedule for synergy that was not focused on any kind of particular content area to be able to have that flexibility so the teachers could finally relax and not feel like, well, I have kids in my math classroom, I have to teach math. No, that's not what this time is for. And I had to redesign the schedule to make it so that that was possible. You know, want to know the crazy thing? Hmm. This is wild. Blow your mind. Our students did better on all of their assessments.
There you go.
After we implemented this program, MAP scores went up, state test scores went up, individual grades went up. Kids who were total punks before are now like focused and dedicated and doing the right thing. Just incredible.
Love it. Jethro Jones, man, you are busting pencils truly with us. Love it. We're going to, I hate to let you go, but it sounds like, you know, you hooked us up with another next guest, and it sounds like this is a return invitation. Jethro, people who want to
don't be shocked if you see me and Jethro sitting next to each other on one of these videos soon, Tim.
That's right.
Where can people find you, Jethro?
Yeah, I'm at Jethro Jones on all the social networks. So at Jethro Jones on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok's a little different, but I don't post there much. So, but at Jethro Jones, would love to connect with anybody. And I took a bunch of notes and put links in my Twitter off of this episode right here. So if you go there right now, they're up at the top.
Awesome. Jethro Jones, thanks for busting pencils, man. Tim and Johnny, break it down when we get back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
There it is. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Great guest, Johnny Lupinacci, Jethro Jones, leader, author, podcaster. The whole idea, though, the concept, learning is messy, right? How long? I mean, we know this.
Yeah. Man, I love it. I love it, man. Great, great conversation tonight. Awesome to meet another, you know, what I call like kind of just a ride or die educator right there in the trenches, grinding it out and recognizing and cued into how young people learn really diverse ways. Like, this isn't linear. It's also not neat and tidy and about putting them in rows, you know. And we had a great comment come up from Damon Hargraves, who's going to be a guest. I mean, we booked him while we were on this show. That's a first and an awesome thing. But, you know, Damon had the comment, threat of engagement versus actual engagement. And this is like, this is a big pet peeve of mine. And he gives a perfect example. You know, this practice, so I'll call it schooling. And I always say school seeps in. And I said, happens to all of us. So it's not like some kind of like elitist, hey, I'm a really great educator. And when I observe you, I'm going to find all these mistakes. We all sometimes slip into those habits of schooling that we were socialized into. We probably experienced them when we were students. But he gave the example, drawing popsicle sticks to call on students versus providing a platform for learning that draws students in. And I think that's a really good illustration for listeners to kind of get at this kind of like engaged and enrolled that Jethro was talking about and that Damon's commenting out. We probably were all in classrooms where there is a popsicle stick drawn, and this happens in a lot of classrooms around our country. So I'm not picking on you if you're a teacher and you do this, but it's the difference, and it's a really good example. That is about compliance, and most people are more focused on the stick and if they're going to get drawn than on the learning. And so it's more about a high-pressure performance than it is about being engaged as a learner. And then the alternative, having a forum and a habit and a practice of participating that isn't about getting permission or getting called on in a gotcha kind of system by a teacher, but kind of like we talked about earlier, Tim, I joked before the show, I said, we're kind of like a jam band. We get in and we read from one another and we have a conversation that's based around active listening and kind of eye contact. That's the kind of thing that great teachers are out there working to do as often as they can. And I just want to point it out. Thank you, Damon. He's commenting too. So true. But we've all been there, right? School seeps in, and those practices that are around, I love the language, the threat of engagement, the threat versus actually being engaged. That's really also what Educators Amplified was talking about last night, right? They were instead of being the teacher that teaches two or does four students, right? They're going through the window and teaching with. That is the same kind of thing. Those two concepts are vibing. There's resonance. There's harmony in that style of teaching, right? So I love it, man. I love when the themes and busted pencils
just start to really make music together. And that's what's happening this week with some great guests, Tim. So
and it is the man, you to hear Jethro too, he made that, you know, comment, regulated. I was like, oh man, there we go. Teacher That's Hallie right. and Teacher Joanne, I know they're out there listening going, wait, what a minute, wait, you know, gotta regulator, love that. Hey,
mount up.
Yeah, check it out though. Hey man, make sure you tune in though too later on tonight to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You can hear that 7 p.m. code for your chance to win. Make sure you're out there. And Johnny, you know, right?
Speaking of winning, Tim, I mean, Bus of Pencils is winning because Bus of Pencils is lucky to be sponsored by Monaco Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin and its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Mm. Progressive beer, that sounds like it even just tastes better, you know?
I mean, it sounds like it belongs together with the Scotty summer.
Yeah, the Scotty summer, you get there. Hey, you know what, too? What makes that Scotty summer even easier to do? Download the Civic Media app, because when you have that Civic Media app, you can do all of that. Hey, and like we said, though, too, and if you happen to be in Finland, you can always listen to Busted Pencils when you got that Civic Media app like our friends in Finland do right now, Johnny Lupinacci, right?
Yeah, and we got a great text in from Jameson, but I know we're running out of time tonight, Tim, but I want to sneak it in because Jameson in Pennsylvania, I mean, he comes in right on time. We're talking about making music, right? He's right in the cut. He said, it comes down to this. It's how we were taught to do things. As a restaurant manager, my district leader sat down with me and asked, why do you do X? He hated the phrase, it's always the way we do it. He broke me hard that day, but since then, I look at everything, even if it's ingrained, to look at it a different way. Good night, Pencils. Hey, good night, Jameson. Jameson, thanks for sharing that. I mean, that's what all of us are learners, leading learners, especially for an education. We are all learning. We have those moments where we're learning and love it. Jameson, thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing.
Yeah. Ooh,
Tim, man, what a night.
That's good stuff. Jess has got that look of going like, some good stuff happening here tonight, right, Jess?
You guys are making my job of selecting the best of segments so difficult. I mean, keep it up. But wow, it is so hard to pick the best of segments from this week.
Hey, you know what they say? It's always good to have a good problem, you know, right? It's a good to have a good problem. Busted Pencils, though, fully led at Education Talk. Yeah, we had a great guest tonight, Jethro Jones. Say, you know, check him out. All the social media is at Jethro Jones. The whole idea, what does learning look like? We had that graphic up there on, for those of you watching on the X on Facebook and YouTube, different places. We'll have that graphic, too, available when the podcast is out there, too, so that everybody can get it. Just a great graphic. Again, what does learning look like? It doesn't look like a straight, continuous, upward, growing, ever wonderful line. It's messy. It's squiggly. It changes. It goes upwards. It goes downwards. It goes sideways. It changes colors. It does all those things because learning is messy. The big thing too here, Johnny, what he said is, guess what? You know, reaffirm too, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom. Guess what? For all those people who think we know what learning looks like inside our craniums, behind our skulls in those brains, we don't. We have theories. We have things that are going there. So anybody who's telling you it's based on brain research, bull. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Tomorrow night, man. TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. See y'all.
Hey, yo, let's go.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we'll be marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll hear from people that were there, and we'll ask ourselves together, what does this all mean today?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming.